Okay, good morning. We continue in our Sefer of the Likutei Amorim of the Bala Tanya, and it's our 12th class. We're using the commentary of the Chassidus Mavuares. We're on page Samach Aleph, and we ended in a good point because we can now do the Kitzur of the second half of this Perek, which will recap us for those that weren't here last time. So we're on the bottom two paragraphs of page Samach Aleph. We're going to have just a summary of what we did last week. It says, Diyun b'mahus madregas habeinoni. We're discussing determining what is the essence of a human being that God calls a beinoni. And we said, bevadai eina madregas mi sheyesh lo mechza zechuyis mechza avonos. Even though there's a Gemara that says, a beinoni, a person in the middle. There is a Gemara that says it's a person with the same amount of mitzvahs and the same amount of averos. But in the classical sense, that is not what a Beinoni is. And he proved that. The Tzaddik proved this. Key number one, first reason why a Beinoni can't be that person. Im kein eich tor rabba ba'atzmo tos gedol kol kach lahashiv es asuk beinoni. Number one, Rabba called himself a Beinoni. A rabbi of the Gemara's time called himself a Beinoni. How could Rabba make such a mistake of his self-evaluation to think that he is only a Beinoni, meaning he has so many averos? He certainly didn't have half averos to mitzvahs. And Rabba called himself a Beinoni. So that is the definition of a Beinoni. That's proof number one. And proof number two, Ha'osa Avon Echad, he brings other Gemaras that says a person does one Aveira, Afilu Kalba Yoser, even the lightest Aveira, Miyad Chalul of Shem Rasha, immediately becomes called a Rasha. So that's why a Beinoni cannot be someone with the same amount of mitzvah, same amount of Averos. So that cannot be a Beinoni. Val Korcha, therefore we have to say, Ha'Beinoni Eimbo Afilu Avon Bitl Torah, and we showed that a Beinoni doesn't even have the sin of wasting time from Torah. That would also already be big enough avera. Umasha amru shabarov schuyos kvar nikra tzadik. Aye, the Gemara says, if you have more merits than averas, you're called a tzadik. If you have 5 million mitzvahs and 4,999,000 averas, you're called a tzadik. How could that be? You got all those averos. So hurak sheva mushal, it's only a borrowed term. Leidin schar v'onish, regarding the concept of reward and punishment. In terms of the reward and punishment of the world to come, you are a tzaddik, you have been judged favorably. But it doesn't mean you are an essential tzaddik. Shu tzaddik bedino, he's a tzaddik in judgment. V'lamitas torah tzaddik chal rak al mi she'en lo yetzar, but a real tzaddik is someone who has no Yetzirah at all. So that is basically what was discussed last week. And therefore it comes out a Beinoni, really, they said, is someone without any Averos either. A Beinoni has no Averos, a Tzaddik has no Averos. So now we have the job of trying to figure out what's the difference between them, and in what way do they lie the difference. Remember, the Bala Tanya calls this work the Sefer HaBeinoni, the book for the Beinoni, for the average Jew. The average Jew is supposed to be a Jew without averos. And that's his avoda. So we'll have to see what the differences lie. So now we're going to begin now, on page Samach Beis. And the author of the Sefer Chassidus Mavuares is a very important introduction to this third section of the first chapter. And now we really get to the mystical stuff now. Now it's going to, you know, hang on to your horses now. Yeah.
Can you give us an example of a real tzaddik in our history?
Real tzaddik? The Baal Shem Tov.
Baal Shem Tov?
The Baal Shem Tov. A real tzaddik like that. Those are like real tzaddikim. No Yetzirahs. The 36 hidden tzaddikim of every generation would be a real tzaddik. Okay, I'm not going to speculate further than that because we don't want to insult any people.
Right.
If they're not included in this category. people like that. You know, great, great, holy rebbes.
So when we call somebody
Rav Moshe Feinstein was probably a tzaddik. I mean, I mean, I don't want to, you know, be so bold as to say that I think he's a tzaddik. But people like that, they just will not. That again, we could be wrong. Maybe they're a beino, maybe he's a beino. But the Baal Shem Tov clearly had to be a tzaddik. He was mamash unbelievable. We'll see that the distinctions. Once you hear the distinctions, you'll see. Okay. Baal Tanya says many people do not reach the level of tzaddik. Probably most people don't reach the level of tzaddik. That's why the book wasn't for tzaddikim. He wants it for the majority of people. Alvai, we will all be beinonim, we'll be in good shape. Remember, beinonis don't do any averus. That's a pretty good, place to be. Okay. So now this introduction on Samach Beis below the line. Okay, so he says, La'acharei shocheach medivrei chazal shetzadik v'beinoni ein b'hem shum avon. After he's proved from the words of the rabbis that a tzadik and a beinoni have no averos, I feel oven kal medivrei sofrim, not even the lightest sin that's rabbinic, they don't have. Yishlahaver ba'ofen yesodi esmaus madregas ha'beinoni. So now we have to clarify in a very fundamental way what is the essence of the level of a Beinoni. V'esahevdol bein ha-Beinoni l'tzadik. And what is the difference, the essential difference between a Beinoni and a tzadik? Shere kvi shuv el, because as we've brought before, ha-hevdol beinei ha-meinenu b'masim b'vol. The difference is not in actual activities. Because neither one does averus. El meduber be-hevdol be-inyim pnimi v'nafshi. Hainu hevdol mahusi. But rather we're speaking about a difference that is more inner, it's more soulful, it's a more fundamental difference that exists between the two of them. Not a superficial difference, but a fundamental difference. You can look at a tzaddik and beinoni in front of you, and in their activities, it could look the same. They both sing and dance a Kabbalah Shabbos. They both take out the Shabbos late. They both don't do averos. They both come and sit and learn. So you look at them on the outside, it's hard to determine what the difference is. We're talking about something that's more basic, more fundamental in the difference. Now we're going to enter now the world of service to Hashem according to the way of Chassidus. This is where Chassidus begins. This is what the Baal Shem Tov revealed to us. And this is what the Baal HaTanya continues. Revealing this, this is what really Chassidus is all about. That inner content difference that exists. Torah HaChassidus melamedes esodom lavodes Hashem bavoda pnimis. The Torah of Chassidus, the right rules of Chassidus, as it were, it teaches a person to serve Hashem with an avoda pnimis, with an inner spiritual service. Hainu, shechassidus mora derech keitzet yuchol adam l'shanas gamas pnimiyuso. Chassidus teaches a person how he's able to change his inner essence. Not just the actions, but the inner person. Klarming to say, shalo rak masav dibura v'machshav v'yisav yukif yorah satara, that not only are his actions, speech, and thought according to the way the Torah teaches us. Not only you think the way the Torah tells you to do things. But his service to Hashem impacts on his brain and on his feelings. That they're drawn to godliness. And through this, therefore, once he has this emotional attachment to Hashem that's drawing him, so therefore, that what will happen as a consequence is that his learning Torah and his doing mitzvahs will allow the godly light to penetrate inside of him. This is bordering on what we learned yesterday in the Bilvavi, in the Mesillas Yesharim, that the whole idea of learning Torah only works if the human being builds himself up into being a utensil that is able to be receptive to the Torah that one learns. That it's not just direct deposit into the banking account, that you own it, but it isn't part of who you are. This is your Yiddishkeit, is part of what you are. You are drawn to Hashem. And if you are drawn to Hashem, then everything you do reflects that and then allows the spiritual light, as it were, the spiritual aura to overcome you and to envelop you. This is, again, it's very interesting. You know, they all say it in different words, you know, and, you know, you would think that, Reb Chaim of Volozhin, the premier student of Vilna Gaon, was very far from being a chassid. And I'm sure many will contend so. But it's a very fine line, because if you read what Reb Chaim says in his Nefesh HaChaim, he brings a lot of chassidus. And he quotes Zohar's left and right. And that's chassidus based on Zohar. Right? So in this week's parsha, it says, you will do the chukos of mitzvahs. It's okay. And then it says, v'chai bohem. V'chai bohem. What does it mean, v'chai bohem? What does it literally mean? You live by them. So he discusses this idea, and it's all based on the Zohar. He says that when a person does a mitzvah, he creates an aura, a godly aura around the person. An aura loki. It's the same wording. An aura loki, a godly aura. Right when you want to do a mitzvah, you create an aura loki. You create a godly aura. And that godly aura assists you in being able to finish the job. Do the mitzvah. And that's when we say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah. We make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah. So, Hashem, you sanctify us with your mitzvah. What does that mean? That sanctification means that you draw down this godly aura. So the person feels attracted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what he's doing. There's a whole difference that a person does a mitzvah, but doesn't have any feeling in the mitzvah. So if this godly aura, which once the aura is there, it's like, you know, it's like having the fans cheering you on when you're playing a game, lahavdil, and you play better when the fans are on your side. So it's like, you know, the whole heavenly realm is cheering you on, and you feel this pull. And that enables you to do the mitzvah. And then once you do that mitzvah, you're surrounded with a deeper feeling, and that brings, and that's the pshat of mitzvah, gereres mitzvah. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, because now you're in a good zone. And that's how he explains when Hashem wants us to do the chukos mitzvah. Say, why? V'chai, and really, oh, one more point he says, it's in the pasuk that says, V'atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem, chayim kulchem hayom. The pasuk says, when now you are cleaving to Hashem, your God, Chaim kol chem hayom, you are alive today. I mean to say, when you do the mitzvahs, you cling to Hashem. This aura of Hashem is surrounding you. And you're clinging to the aura. And that is the true definition of being alive. The true definition of life is that point. So, if that's what it is, so then you understand when it says in this week's parsha, these are the chukas and the mitzvos that you do. V'chai bahem. We say literally, you live, he learns, you live surrounded in them, in it. The mitzvahs create this attachment to Hashem, create this aura. It's like, it's all around, everywhere you go, it's like you got this bubble of Hashem around you. Right? And that really is, Rashi over there says, on the Pasuk, says, V'chai bahem to go to Olam Haba. Doesn't mean Olam Haba after you die, it means Olam Haba now. Olam Haba now, in the world to come now, because you're surrounded by Hashem. That's what Olam Haba is. So v'chai b'hem means to live surrounded with that. Right? So that's Reb Chaim of Volozhin. But it's the same thing. Just wanted to tie something into this week's parsha, so you at least have something to say the Shabbos day. Okay, yeah, you had a question?
The other way too?
What do you mean the other way too? Oh yeah, that's the next comment. I didn't say that. Reb Chaim says the last paragraph. Rav Chaim says, and if you do an Aveira, right, then the exact opposite happens. You're enveloped around a very negative aura, and that distances you from Hashem, and puts you in a position to do more averus. It works both ways. Works both ways. So therefore, that's what he's saying over here. Back inside, he says that the avoda of chassidus is that your emotions and your mind is drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, everything is surrounded with this supernal light, godly light. Okay, continue back inside now. V'zeh ha'evdol ha'mahusi ben chamesh ha'chalukas ha'niskos shebnei Yisrael. And this is the essential difference between the five categories that we've been speaking about. We spoke about the tzaddik v'tovlo, the tzaddik where there's tov in him, right? The tzaddik v'ralo, the tzaddik that there's evil in him but he overcomes it. The Beinoni, and then the Rasha Vitovlo, and the Rasha Varalo, which he's not going to explain now, but that's what it really means when we have these are the five levels of Jews. It means where's the inner activity of the person? Obviously, the furthest end of the spectrum is you're totally drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other end is you're totally not drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's in between. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. What is your attraction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? And that's where the game of Yiddishkeit is won or lost according to Chassidus. Because that's all what? Chalukos Elein Chamesh Madregos B'maos Penimius V'Tochis Adam. These are five levels of the inner content and essence of the person. Utluyus B'Shir U'B'Mida Shabash Shina Ha'Adam As Penimius L'Tov L'Tusha. And it depends on how much the person changes his inner essence to good and to holiness. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to move the person in that direction. It's the person, Yetzer Ra Lev Minu Rav, as he's going to explain in a few moments, that the Yetzer is bad from the beginning, so we've got to change it. La'avonis inyan zeh chayovim lachtor lo'oimek ha'dvorim lo'ovin heitev es ha'mivne ha'pnimi ha'ruchon ishalav. So now, in order to understand what we're talking about, we have to penetrate into the depths and understanding well the spiritual makeup of the human being. We have to begin to discuss what the human being is. This is the content of the upcoming chapters. What the Rebbe is going to explain in the next chapters is that within a person, there reside two souls, Hanikris Nefesh Bahamis v'Nefesh Elokis, which is called an animalistic soul and a godly soul. And in the next few chapters, the Rebbe is going to be involved in clarifying the essence of these two souls. And in a very detailed way, he explains the forces that they have and how they act. After this introduction, it's a long introduction, then we'll understand the specific detailed definitions of these five categories of Jews. Now, once we're going to understand what the five levels are, then we can begin to explain what the essence of the service of a Beinoni is. Shema Tarsa Shal Sefer HaTanya. This is the goal of the Sefer HaTanya that's called the Sefer Shal Beinoni, the book of the Beinoni. L'var Ketz Yecholim Gam Anoshim Regilim L'chol El Shinu Pnimi B'mocham U'Bilvavam. It's the whole purpose of the book is to teach how can regular people create an inner change in their minds and in their hearts, at least to some degree. So that when you learn Torah and do mitzvahs, it happens with an inner life. With a feeling of love and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we have in front of us now, the long task of determining what is every human being's content of a animalistic soul and a godly soul that we have to discuss. Then once you have that discussion, then we can now describe more clearly what the five types of Jewish people defined are. And then we know what a Beinoni is. Now we can see, okay, what's the job of the Beinoni to become that Beinoni? That's the And that will take chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters. That's what it is. Okay. So now we begin the Baal HaTanya's actual words. Okay, the idea of the two souls, in every Jew. Okay, we're on page Samach Gimel now. Ach Beir HaInyan. So to explain the topic, Al Pimash Kosa Rav Chaim Vital, Bishara HaKedusha. We'll use the words of Rav Chaim Vital in his book called the Shari HaKedusha. Chaim Vital was a premier student of the Arizal. Ube'etz HaChaim, and what he also says in the Sefer Chaim, in the Sefer Etz Chaim, Shar Beis, Chelek Perk Beis, okay. To L'chol Ish Yisrael, he says that every Jew, Echad Tzadik V'Echad Rasha, regardless if he's a Tzadik or a Rasha, Yeshtei Neshamas, he has two souls. U'chidichsiv, as it says in the book of Yeshaya, U'neshamos Ani Osisi, and I have made neshamos in the plural. Now, the simple translation of that would be that God made many people and therefore many souls. But that's not how the Arizal learns it in a deeper way. So now, we have the Chassidus Mavaris explains this paragraph. The Kisvei HaKedomim, in the earlier works of earlier tzaddikim, like the Rambam, Ramban, Rabbeinu B'chaya, and others, Herichu B'malsa Nefesh, or hanefashos, they get into the, talk a lot about the essence of a nefesh, sheba adam, meaning a human nefesh. Ach betoras hasod, but in a mystical way, nisparis explained, kefishalimit arizal, like the Arizal teaches us, and which is written through his student, Reb Chaim Vital, who wrote all his Torah down. Shebenei Yisrael shoni mishar bnei adam, that Jewish people are different than other human beings. Vekach, in this way, shebechol echad v'echad mishrael, a Jew is different than a non-Jew. So a Jew has two neshamas, and a non-Jew does not. Nefesh achasi, one of them is, and he'll explain all this, mitzad klipa is from the side of the klipa. Klipa literally means a shell, meaning to say that you don't sense any holiness and the godly light in that aspect. Vinikris hanefesh habahamis, and it's called the animalistic soul. Vanefesh hasheni is yaneshama hakidoshi shabadam, and the second soul is the holy soul of the person. Hanikris hanefesh alokis, which is called the godly soul. Valeim nemar, and to both of these souls, that's what the Arizal says, that Yeshaya meant when Hashem said, uneshamos ani osisi, and souls I made, neshamos lashon rabim. The neshamas is in the plural text. There's two souls within every Jew. And now the question is exactly what's the diuk? How do you understand from the pasuk? Again, the simple meaning could be you made many people. You have many souls. One soul per person would be the simple pshat in the pasuk. But if you look in the pasuk in Yeshaya, the footnote 41 speaks out, because it starts off that the human being is called in the singular. The beginning of the pasuk says ki ruach milafnai yatov, that I envelop before me a ruach, a singular spirit. So it's talking about each and every Jew, and within the singular spirit it says neshamas and asisi. Within the singular spirit I've created souls. So that's how Reb Chaim the Arizal learns that every Jew has two souls. Okay, back to the next three words of the Baal HaTanya. Now, next three words are going to say, he says, what's he saying now? He says, Shehen Shtei Nefashos, that they are two Nefashos. Yes. In other words, the Pasuk says, Neshamos Ani Asisi. These words are very similar words. What's the difference between a Nefesh and a Neshama? Soul. In English, it's translated soul. The pasuk says neshamas ani asisi, so the Baal HaTanya, Reb Chaim Vital brings down from the Arizal that every Jew has two neshamos. So then he says shehen shtei nefashos, which are really two nefashos. So he will explain. He's saying shtei neshamos. Now the Chassidus Mavaris explains what is he meaning with this? What's this little nuance to saying? Well, God, everyone has two neshamos, which are two nefashos. So he says, Shtei neshamos ashochanas v'adam, the two neshamos that are in a person, Kol achas mehen hi nefesh. Really, each one is a nefesh shlema bifnei atzma, a total nefesh in and of itself, im kol prote hakochos, with all the details of its powers, hachushim vakishronos hanidrashim la'adam lichos eschai kidaboy, with the senses and the skills that are necessary for a person to live a proper life. So, what's happening in footnote 42, and then he tells you to look back later on the book, he's saying that the tzaddik here is elaborating, what does it mean, two neshamos? It means two, rather, what does it mean, two neshamos? It means two nefashos. So, neshama, okay, is usually explained, mystically, okay, better not to go to the footnote in the back. It's going to confuse things more. So let's just continue what he's going to say. It'll confuse us more. So, look in the brackets. Kan bolidei hadgosha achas hanakudas hayisodes shebesev ratanya. Now he's touching on one of the fundamental points of the Tanya. Odas hamilchama hamisnaheles belibo shel adam beitov lera. He's dealing with the war that's conducted in one's heart between good and evil. Now, Regilim Lachshov, turning the page, it's a very important point he's going to say now. We usually think, Shamulchama, Hirak Ben Shnei Kochos. We think the war inside of us is between two forces, two Yetzers. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer. Sheshochnim Beliba Shalom, that reside in the heart of a person. The Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Hara. Echad Hamoshech Asol Advarim Tovim. One pulls him to good things as the Yetzer Tov. Ve'echad Yetzer Hara, Amesis Asol Hara. And the Yetzer Hara tries to incite him to the bad. That's what we think. Avol Emesi Sheish Barim Shtei Nefashos. But the truth is, there's two souls. What does he mean to say now? Here's the point. He's saying Shekol Achas Ben He Koma Shlema. Each one is its own stature, is its own building, as it were. It's its own world. It's its own Weltanschauung. The Yesh L'chaim Shleim Shleim. It has its own life. In other words, when he says neshama, you could think it's a very narrow urge. But when you're using the word nefesh, nefesh already means a much broader total reality. That's what he's saying. He explains later on, Barucha, es prata akocha shel shtei nefeshot. He'll get into the details of the various powers that each nefesh has. When you're dealing with a nefesh, you're dealing with a whole system. It's a complete unit, a complete system, as opposed to the word neshama. Okay. The ilu hayetzer, and now you're going to see that he says the yetzer eino elachelik echad shel nefesh. It's only one part of the nefesh. It's not the whole thing. It's one aspect of it. Ki yetzer perusha netir shel nefesh. Yetzer. What does the word yetzer mean? It means the inclination of that nefesh that it is part of. Mean to say, Yetzer Tov, let's say the good yetzer, the good inclination, hanitiyas hatovas shel haneshama hakadosha. The Yetzer Tov is the good inclinations that comes from the Neshama HaKedosha, from the Holy Neshama, the Yetzer Hara Netiyas Haro Shel Nefesh HaBahamis. And the Yetzer Hara is the evil inclinations that come from the animalistic soul. Avol B'Nefesh Asri Yesh Harbe Yoser MiYetzer Levad. But the Nefesh itself has more than just a Yetzer. More than just a thing. He'll explain this all. It's more than just a Yetzer. There's a lot more that makes up a Nefesh. It's not just a Yetzer Har and a Yetzer Tov. Shtei HaNefashos HaLolu. These Nefashos, Nuchama Suem Zu, they are at war with each other. Shekol Achas Roitza, Sheklolos Chaya Odom Yeh Bereshusa. Each Nefesh wants the total life of the person to be in his domain. He wants the human being to conduct his life according to the nature of that nefesh. And in the ninth chapter, the Rebbe will detail this great battle that takes place. Klomar, meaning to say, If it was a battle between two inclinations, then it's only a war about the actions of the person. In other words, we mistakenly think that our battles are merely battles of how I should be acting. The Yetzer Tov says, go to shul. The Yetzer Hara says, sleep in. So it's a battle as to what I should be doing. So that would, we would mistakenly think so if we would think we're just talking about neshamos. But the fact we're talking about nefashos, so he says a much different story. He's saying, Hayetzer HaTov rotzer she'odam yisnaig behatheim leharas haTorah. The Yetzer Tov, right, you think that the Yetzer Tov only wants the person to conduct himself compatibly with the teachings of the Torah. And the Yetzer Hara wants to seduce the person to conduct himself according to his drives. But now we're saying it's not just neshamos, but it's nefashos. Mashmas, and he, what does that mean? The real war is over the essential essence and identification of the person. Mihu, who is he? Umahu, and what is he? That's the real war. What side of reality are you putting yourself in? That is, it's a much bigger war. It's not just a bunker, that's a trench that's going to be taken. But which, you know, you could say, because like the martial arts, let's say in World War I, right, you had you were fighting one trench over another trench, right? Who's going to win this trench? But was World War I over trenches? It was over a philosophy of life. Especially World War II was over philosophy of life. In other words, what does the one side believe in the way the world should be conducted versus the other side? Do you believe, for example, let's say in World War II, should there be Nazism should be what the world is about? Or should it be communism? Or should it be capitalism? That's a whole Weltanschauung. The battle. You see, okay, who's gonna take this trench? So you have a Yetzer wanting to take this trench, and the other Yetzer wants to take that trench. And that's true, that makes up the smaller wars. But the question is, if everybody believed in one way of life, there would be no war. So what is the essential battle of the trench? The essential battle is, do you believe in capitalism? Or do you believe in fascism? You know, people live and die for their beliefs. What, and how do I think my whole life should be run? Should there be freedom for people? Or should they be controlled by the elite? And that's what you live and die for. It's what you feel, what you believe in. So that's what he's saying. The issue of me getting up for shul in the morning, the issue of me not speaking Lashon Hara, don't be myopically looking at it as it's just a question, do I have the strength to get up in the morning or not? Do I have the power to overcome speaking the Yetzer Lashon Hara or not? It's what world do I believe I'm in? Do I believe that the world of the body is the reality of life? Or do I believe that the world of the soul is the reality of life? It's a whole different ballgame. A soul, right, as we'll talk about the nefesh elokis, the godly soul says, my life is to be close to Hashem. So if my life is to be close to Hashem, so then there's nothing to talk about. You know, okay, there's a temptation, but I gotta overcome, but that's the team I'm on. I'm on team God. The other one's on team animal. Right? And therefore it's a different world, different identification. Just finish it. He called Achas Mishte Anefashos Nuchamas Alkach. Both Nefashos are waging a war. She called Mahusa Vesehusa Shalodam Yia Behetem Lashifaso. That the whole essence and identification of person should suit what each one's Nefesh's drive is. Mitzara Nefesh Alokis, in terms of the godly soul, Mahusa Adam Yanetia Vamshichal Alokus. The nature, the essence of the person's yearning, inclination, tendency, draws him to godliness. But in terms of the animalistic soul, Maal Sa'adam Himili Ritzonasav Utsrachav Ativim is just fulfilling the base desires and natural needs of the animal or the person. That's the bigger war. So don't be fooled by the should I do this, should I not do this. It's which, now you have both realities inside of you as a Jew. You have a neshama bahamis, the animalistic soul that believes that your whole life is to live as a rational animal. Right? That's all. And therefore you live for one thing. You live for pleasures. Finish. That is the goal in life. Now that's one weltanschauung. The other weltanschauung is you live to be davuk tashem. You live to cling to Hashem. And there's millions of details in each one of those realms. So it's like a whole country fighting a whole country it's like the Palestinians against Israelis. It's not just, you know, a Yetzer, should we take a piece of land? It's a whole belief system, right? So these are different belief systems. You believe that everything you are is a rational animal, and therefore everything I do is to make the rational animal feel that it is accomplished, and therefore I have all the physical pleasures in life, and therefore the Yetzer Hara is that inclination that will push me to further develop those things that the rational animal wants. Or, having you as well, we have a Neshama Elokis, a Nefesh Elokis, which says, no, my whole life is to be attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to V'chai Bohem. Because that's really the difference. It's the difference, as the Torah says, the difference between life and death. V'chai Bohem means to live immersed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore my Yetzer Tov will push me to do those kinds of things that will get me immersed in being close to Hashem. And that is the tremendous war that is being waged over here. And that's what the tzaddik has now go in great detail in explaining these nefashos. And once you understand what the nefashos are about, then we can begin to understand what the Muhammad is all about, etc., etc. Yeah.
First of all,
really, everything's premature right now. But
yeah, I know, perhaps it is. But we've learned, and we, as we pray every morning, Elohai Neshama Shenatata Bi Torah Hi. So we only talk about a soul, one soul that Hashem has given us, and every morning is renewing it with us. So how can we suddenly come with this concept of two souls? That's number one.
Okay, very simple. Because the animalistic soul is there all the time.
But there are two.
Is there? But so we're very appreciative of the godly soul that you put inside of me. We're focusing on the godly soul that you put inside of me. That's the neshama Torah. That's the one we have to remember. That's the one when you go to sleep at night is going up into the higher worlds and is nurturing and doing all those kinds of things. And that's what comes back to us in the morning. Well, the animalistic soul, you've been schluffing and puffing like an animal the whole night. That animalistic soul has been with you all night long. Right? The godly soul is the one that took a trip up into holier worlds and is coming back down now. Yeah?
Right. So that being so, there, we have both souls, but both are necessary for us to function. It's not that
so good.
It's a war. We have to have the animalistic soul because
so one has to win and capture the other one, and one becomes a slave to the other. You're right. You need the animalistic soul, and we hope that the godly soul wins the war. What happened? What would Hitler want to do to take over the world? He wasn't going to kill every Frenchman. He was going to kill every Jew, but he wasn't going to kill every Italian. He was going to kill every Pole. No, they'll be his servants. They'll be your slaves to do your bidding.
Right? To do your bidding.
Person has to have children. How do you have children? The last time I checked, you have to have children by having some taiva, no?
Right.
So now the neshama Elokis captures, enslaves the neshama bahamis, the animalistic soul. And now when you're master and servant, the master gives the orders, the servant doesn't argue. So the master says, it's a mitzvah of pruravu, it's a mitzvah to be fruitful, multiply. I want to be close to Hashem. In order to be close to Hashem, he says, I have to produce children. Now I give an order, a direct order to the animalistic soul that has taiva, that has lust, and says, I want you, for this few minutes, to lust that I should be with my wife and to have a child. You've taken a captive. Now, the other way, though, God forbid, if the Neshom Bahamas wins, then what does he do? He captures the Neshom Elokis. Okay, we'll talk about that. There's a lot to talk about. Okay, did we finish the... Okay, now we're on the next words. Okay, bottom of Samach Dalav. This is all what the Bavavi was talking about in Das Atzmacha. I think that, what do you identify yourself as? Do you identify yourself as a body? What does it mean, body? A.K.A. Neshama Bahamis, Nefesh Bahamis, or do you identify yourself as a soul? A.K.A. Neshama Nefesh Alokis. What do you identify yourself as? Yes, Rafal?
I don't know, maybe
this is the easy stuff. This is the easy stuff. But don't you see that in society it's two worlds? It's two worlds. Go talk to a secular person. They're all in the Nefesh Bahamis world. They're all in the animalistic world. They're all animals with a little brain. Right? They don't understand. They can't begin to understand why in the world would you want to keep Shabbos. And unfortunately, a lot of Orthodox Jews, many Orthodox Jews, they're not doing so well with the war either. And even if they're keeping the Shabbos, but they're keeping it as a Nefesh Bahamis. Right? That becomes the difference between Jews who are keeping the Shabbos and keeping the Shabbos. If you're keeping the Shabbos that the Nefesh Elokis has won, then how do you look at Shabbos? The Nefesh Elokis, Shabbos. This is the day I've been waiting all week long. It's been so hard to be immersed in Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so many things fighting me, and I'm trying to feel close to you in the boardroom. I'm trying to feel close to you in rush hour traffic. I'm trying, and it's a war, because the world I'm in, that is the animalistic world. And I'm trying to get my godly soul ignited, but it's so hard. Come Shabbos, that's a Yom Menucha. What a rest. It's so much easier now. My godly soul is able to totally surround me. I look forward to that day. Every moment is precious. While the Orthodox Jew who's living, who's been captived by the Nefesh Bahamas, so he says, okay, Shabbos is a nice day to sleep. A Behema has to sleep also. The Torah says your Behema has to rest on Shabbos too. That's a deeper pshat in what it means in the commandment in the Torah that you ato vincha every ubehemtecha chamorcha. Different Jews will be resting on Shabbos. The Jews with the nefesh elokis, and then the Bahamis. They'll be the Jews, the chamor.
Did you just think of that?
I just thought of that. Hashem gave it to me. Hashem gave it to me. Free of charge. So the donkey. You, Mr. Donkey, Reb Moshe Donkey. That your whole life is just for pleasures, but you happen to be, you have to keep Shabbos, so you sleep like the donkey sleeps. You sleep the whole Shabbos, you don't work, you eat, you sleep. I'm refreshed, I can go to work on Sunday. Okay, that's a level too. It's still a level. But you identify with a whole different realm of existence. It's a whole difference between what it's all about. Yeah, Rafal?
Okay. What you're describing, just make sure I'm understanding, is really two systems.
That's what I said. Yes, two systems.
It's not so, therefore...
Two wealth and shangs.
As a Yetzirah, Yetzirah, and if we do something, you say, the Yetzirah won out, and that means our totality is that Yetzirah, or that Yetzirah won out. But it's really, there's a lot of battles. There's a lot of...
The Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov are like generals in the bunkers.
Yeah.
So they're being sent...
One battle, and the other side can win another battle, but
it's a much greater war.
Yeah.
Those are the battles. What do they say? You lose the battle, win the war.
So that would explain why you can be both at the same time. Why you can have...
Well, because you got both worlds inside of you. That's the Muhammad. Okay, to be continued next Friday, Amir Tzashem. Monday, we go back to Sefer Shmuel. What happened to all the ladies today? Huh? Today it was a men's class.